Welcome to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, where the discussion will be about issues that affect people on a daily basis. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Lloyd Rosen.
Welcome to another week with Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. I don't know where the weeks go, but they definitely speed by. And before I know it, it's another Friday afternoon to spend with you and our guests. If you'd like to call into the show, 347-989-1363 is the number. You can press 1, and we will get you on the air to ask the question of our guests. If you are into Facebook, you can go to Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can go to Lloyd S. Rosen to check us out on Facebook. You can email me at bowler900@sbcglobal.net. That'll get you to my email, and you can ask the question. I'll get you the answers from my guests if you do not like to be on the air. You can also go to lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com, and you can click on register to be a guest. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, we'd love to have you on. You can visit www.toughtalkradionetwork.com to learn all about the other hosts that we have on our network. And you can definitely download the show on iTunes and listen to it as many times as you like as a recording. And maybe come up with some questions that you might want to ask me, or just listen to it and get some more information out of it that you didn't get the first time. So definitely participate, give us a call, email me, and learn from my guests. Today we have two very interesting guests. We have a psychiatrist, and we have a regular old dad. And I don't mean that derogatorily speaking, but I will go back in. I will go more into that when I bring him on in the second half hour. But something I didn't mention last week. There was the shooting in Oregon. There was the shooting in California, and it just keeps going on and on and on and on. And I was fortunate yesterday to meet with some of the workers of my town hall who have passed an initiative called Stigma Free. And the town has become stigma free, at least they're working towards it, to do away with the stigma of being mentally ill or having certain issues of mental capacity. So I was looking forward to that. They've invited me to come speak at their meeting. I've given them the opportunity to use me as much as they'd like to get the word out, because it is something that needs to fall off by the wayside. There's too many people out there, as I've said before, who have issues that do not want to talk about them because of the stigma attached to it, and we need to get rid of that stigma. That's why I do this radio show. That's why I'm open as much as I am to talking about it and getting out there speaking about it. So if anybody out there would like to get in touch with me, they definitely can use my email address to get in touch with me, or the website here at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com. But we're going to get right into the show right after these commercials, and it should be quite an interesting hour today. Be right back.
Have you been feeling tired, having trouble managing your emotions, or just feeling out of sorts? The problem could be your vitamin supplement. There is a big difference between synthetic and natural vitamins. Synthetic vitamins do not contain all of the substances that naturally occur in nature. Natural whole food vitamins provide all of the factors necessary to help you maintain or regain your health. For more information, please contact Dr. Alan Simberg at alansimberg.com.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to Life's Issues on this Friday. We're here today. My first guest is actually, he's a guest for my show, but he's definitely not a guest to the Tough Talk Radio Network. He hosts Life Changing Insights every Tuesday afternoon at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. He has a PhD in counseling psychology. He's a licensed marriage and family counselor and chemical dependency counselor. He also has over 40 years of professional experience counseling individuals, couples, and families. In addition, he's certified as an applied clinical nutritionist and is a certified NET practitioner. He combines his counseling knowledge and experience with his understanding of nutrition, which I will definitely get more into when he speaks to his clients in private practice. He believes in addressing the relationship between the body chemicals and the psychological challenges people can be helped to achieve their therapeutic goals in a timely manner. I wish I had known this man when I was about 15, 20 years younger, but I do know him now, and I'd like to introduce Alan Simberg. Alan, how are you today?
Good, Lloyd. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for coming on. It's my pleasure to have you. So I need to ask first, did you go to college and get a PhD in psychology first or nutrition first?
Actually, I got all of my psychology training first, and then after that was when I got the nutrition training, although I was self-taught with nutrition. I always had, well, I shouldn't say always, but I had an interest in nutrition from around the time I was around, oh, maybe late 30s, very early 40s. And that's when I really started my informal training. But then once I got my degrees and I was in the private practice with, as you mentioned, the marriage and family and the addiction work, that's when I really upgraded my nutritional understanding.
Okay, so obviously I'm on the same page with you as far as nutrition helping you psychologically and physically as well. But your eating habits, will they help you deal with addictions in terms of, let's say, you're a chemical-dependent person? Will it help you get off of the drugs, or will it just be another form of doing it?
Well, actually, the way you eat, in my opinion, is very important. I look at as food as being medicine. So in terms of the way you eat affects your addiction, you know, whether you're using drugs or drinking alcohol, is that I find a very close relationship between blood sugar levels, the balance of hormones, and the balance of chemicals in the brain that are called neurotransmitters. And if you do not eat in a way that allows your blood sugar to stay within the proper range on a relatively consistent basis, we're not going to be perfect with it, it can really affect not only the way you think, but it also affects the way you eat. So, for example, using alcohol in this instance, when you drink alcohol, it turns to sugar in your stomach and it wreaks havoc on your blood sugar levels. When you eat in the way that helps you to maintain consistent blood sugar levels, it helps you not to have the cravings and urges for the alcohol. Again, the same thing is true with drugs and neurotransmitters. Although the blood sugar level also does play a part, the neurotransmitters also play a big part. So, for example, let's say you drink, and as a result of your drinking, let's say your serotonin goes down. Now, serotonin has to do with mood, with depression. people will drink. Sometimes it's wittingly and sometimes it's unwittingly. They will drink and or use drugs to maintain a reasonable mood. If their mood is stabilized through the use of good nutrition, or maybe another way of saying that would be for it to be balanced, people don't have the cravings. It doesn't make them stop using, but it gives them the power and control to make the decision so that the substance doesn't run them.
So, okay. We're going to use me as an example because I am a diabetic. I've been since September of 2012, and some of the things that you just said touched home a little bit. For example, yesterday, perfect example for you to give me an answer to. I was sitting in my house, and I had an appointment to go meet somebody at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was sitting on my couch just playing a video game or whatever I was doing, and I started to think in the sense that, do I have that appointment today? I'm not sure if I do or not. Is it at 2 o'clock? I'm not really sure. It's like I had a Alzheimer's, but then I remembered it. Is that caused by the diabetes?
Yes, and actually, to be even more specific, it's that really can be affected by the blood sugar, which, of course, you know, we could say it's a diabetes, but to help people to understand more fully, it's affected by the blood sugar level. Your brain requires a certain amount of glucose and a certain amount of fat to be able to function properly. When your blood sugar goes either too high or too low, so, of course, obviously in the case of diabetes, it would be too high. In a sense, it contributes to brain fog, which, of course, then would affect memory. So it could be, even though you may have eaten well, it could be because of the amount of stress you are having in your life at that point that maybe you needed more than what you normally would eat. And then to give you a simple answer to your question, yes, of course, your memory could have been affected by the diabetic condition that you have, which really basically means that your blood sugar is too high.
That's interesting. It's interesting you say that because I did take my blood yesterday morning before I ate anything, and it was about 112, which is a tad bit high, but, I still ate correctly, and I try to eat correctly all the time. So I appreciate the answer to the question. Eating is a very big, big, big part of staying healthy, and I totally understand that. Let's move on to away from nutrition and ask you a counseling question. People in general, people like you and me, and we get into relationships if we're not married in one already, which I'm not, but we get involved in the relationships, and getting involved in the relationship, we find out about people, and people find out about us. What do you do in a case where the person that you are with has a minor issue, and that minor issue is that they're always having to be involved with stress? They have issues in their life, and they just are stressed out by them. They take care of the problem, and then what they do is they find something else to be stressed about to fill that void, and they can never be stress-free. How do you handle, as someone who is the opposite person in the relationship, how does that person handle it?
Well, actually, that's a really good question, and as you mentioned, it really is a very common situation, in fact, more common than a lot of people would realize. So here's the way I would look at that. It's not a question of whether the person has stress or not, because everyone always has stress all the time. There's a misunderstanding that certain things are stressful and certain things are not. And the key is to learn how to minimize or eliminate the stressors in your life. And actually, from my point of view, that is not accurate. The way I look at things is that everything is stressful. Everything that we encounter every day is stressful. The focus needs to be more on how to manage the stress so it does not become distressful. Now, from your question, you're actually focusing on an aspect of what I just said. And in a sense, what I hear you talking about is a person who always seems to be looking for something to be challenged by. Now, that person may also be having difficulty with managing the stressor so that things become easily distressful. And that person may also be, and here's a key answer to your question, that person may be in a heightened state of alert, which means that that individual is overly sensitive to the stressors and tends to overreact. So the question is, what do we do about that? What you do about that is do your best to understand what that person is reacting to, okay? Again, I apologize, but we do need to go back to nutrition because although counseling has its place, my belief is that counseling without nutrition really makes the situation much more difficult to overcome. So one of the things that I would look at, and it doesn't only have to be nutrition, I would look at how that person is living their life. How do they eat? Do they exercise? What stress management strategies do they know and practice? And another key factor, which addresses your question, is the quality of sleep that that person is getting. The lower the quality of sleep, and that also includes the amount of time a person sleeps, the more likely they're going to have great difficulty in managing the stressors of their lives. So what might actually be happening is that the person is not necessarily looking for stress, but the person is actually showing you that they're having difficulty managing the stress, and many things, many more things than what really has to be, are becoming distressful to that person. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. It gives me a lot of information, actually, about that because you helped me understand the issue. So I thank you for that. Now, I know we're moving on in time. Let me ask you one other question. I know in your bio it talks about nutrition having to be mixed in with therapy and stuff like that. Now, I have suffered with depression. I'm on medication right now. I've been on it for about 8 years. My question here is that, and my problem is that I had a chemical imbalance in my brain at the age of 13 that caused me to have major depression. But between the body chemistry and the therapy and the eating and the nutrition, can you get physical exercise, eat correctly, and be taken off of the meds so you don't have to have the meds? Or is that something that a person like me is going to have to be on for the rest of their lives?
I believe that that's an individual case-by-case situation, but I also believe that more people are not only on medications unnecessarily, but they're also on them for a longer period of time. So my answer to your question is, I believe, and I'm also talking from my own experience in private practice, is that people do not necessarily have to be on medications, especially antidepressant medications, for the rest of their lives.
That's great to hear, actually, because if I could work out and eat correctly, I probably could get off of them. But for right now, I'm on them, so I will stay on them because I feel a whole lot better on them than I do off of them. I get anger issues and anxiety issues when I'm off of them. So I might be one of those chosen few who needs them a little longer than necessary. But, Alan, let me have you give my listeners who have never listened to your show information as to where they can get a hold of you and talk to you or read about you.
Okay, well, of course, what anyone can do is they can listen to my show, which is Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 4 o'clock, and the name of the show is Life Changing Insights with Dr. Alan Simberg. You can also email me through my website, which is alansimberg.com, and you can also either call or text me at 281-785-0660.
This is my first time in talking with you. I know we've been on conference calls together, but we've never had a real chance to talk. And for me, Alan, I would love to sit down with you sometime and talk more because, first of all, you're a wealth of information. Second of all, you've straightened some things out just in the 20, 25 minutes we've been on the phone together. And I just graduated with a degree in psychology and a minor in sociology, so I would love to pick your brain as much as I can. But having said that, I know you have an appointment to get to, and so I'm going to thank you very much for coming on and stepping in and helping us out.
Okay, well, it was a pleasure being on your show, and certainly feel free to contact me. I'd be happy to help you in any way I can.
I appreciate that, Alan. You have a great afternoon.
Okay, thank you. You too.
All righty.
Okay.
Take care. That was Alan Simberg, a psychologist and a licensed marriage and family counselor and chemical dependency counselor. Very interesting man, very interesting information that he had to share with us. We'll be right back after these messages with our second guest. But
so you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
They say everybody has a story. A special few have the gift of bringing stories to life. When you absolutely can't get your book from your head to the written page, you need the special services of a ghostwriter. You will be amazed at what happens when you leave the telling of your story to a writer with the ability to reach inside and capture joy and laughter and pain and transform it all into your words, your raw emotions, just waiting to explode into reality. When waiting to tell your story is no longer an option, trust a ghostwriter that can deliver on a promise. Shirley Carney is that writer you can trust. Contact Shirley at ShirleyWintersCarney@yahoo.com or give her a call at 832-492-4088.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen. We will get to my second guest in just a minute, but if you'd like to call in, and I know there may be some of you listening who might want to with this guest that I'm going to have on, because I was reading his bio and I felt him very compelling. His number is 347-989-1363, and my next guest is an author, he's a coach, he has lived a life that, I don't know, maybe I should say no one should have to live, but if someone has to live it, having read his story, I would want to live it the way he has. He's a stand-up guy. He's a single father, and his whole thing is helping support and guide single dads. I'm going to just give you a little bit of background. I don't want to take up too much time, but back in the spring of 1995, my guest became a single father literally overnight. His wife, the mother of his two children, was rushed to the hospital on a Thursday night and pronounced, unfortunately, deceased on Saturday morning. She had had an illness, from what I understand, that my guest or the children did not know about, but she did. And she basically asked my guest on her dying day to please take care of his daughters and make them a priority in his life. He has gone out of his way to coach over 300 student-athletes in the town. He's been involved in a travel league of basketball and softball, and he has, fortunately, I can say, written a book and started an organization called Single Dads with Heart. Don't let me waste any more time. I'll let him fill in the spots that I missed. Let's welcome in Larry Agresto. Larry, are you there?
Yes, Lloyd, I am here. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. You got beautiful weather out here in Boston.
That sounds good, because I know sometimes Boston doesn't come out of winter until July. So.
Yeah, well, that almost happened. It didn't come out of winter until like late May, but we had a lot of gray, wet weather in May and chilly for the month of May, but summer's finally here.
Good for you. Just a little bit of where I come from in relationship to what we're going to discuss here. I was married to a woman for 12 years. We had two beautiful children. She then asked me for a divorce because I was not the father I should have been, and I cheated on her, and the rest is history. But I was a single dad. I had my kids every other weekend. Had to spend the air of doing stuff with them, taking care of them, being their mother, their father, everything else. So my hat goes off to you for being the single dad that you have become. And I don't know how many compliments I can pay your way, but I will tell you that my girlfriend, who is very emotional and very gets upset very easily when she reads about things, read your story that I printed out so I could use it on the show today, and she went like, this is some story. She said, this guy must be incredible. So I just wanted to pass that on to you. So just know that you are affecting people who don't even know who you are. Why did you write A Father's New Beginning?
Before I answer that question, thank you for that wonderful introduction, and tell your girlfriend I said thank you for her kind words. Why did I write A Father's New Beginning? I think there was a variety of reasons. I think part of it was cathartic for me to really sit down and go through the whole experience and get it down on paper. As they say, when you write things down on paper, your emotions actually come out. And I think that was very true, because I think in most chapters, at some point along the way when I was writing, I had tears in my eyes and I had emotional moments, and I actually had to get up from behind the computer. I think the other reason why I wrote it is that I started paying attention to what was happening to other fathers in the community who unfortunately lost their wives due to a tragedy, car accident, illness, whatever, breast cancer. and then a lot of other families who have experienced divorce for whatever reason, because it has, you know, it can leave a similar impact on kids. It's different than a tragedy, but it's still a loss. It's a different kind of loss. And I started paying attention to the growing numbers of single dads out there in the country and in the world at large. And I just said, you know, if I look at my two girls today, they look like they're doing okay. So maybe I did an okay job as a single dad, and maybe I should share the story. Maybe it can make a difference with a few other dads. And those are the reasons why I wrote it.
Can you share some of the thoughts and feelings when you first learned of your wife's death? Because in your bio on your website, it says you had no idea that she was ill.
No, I did not. Neither did she. I mean, she knew over the last week or so, week and a half or so, that she wasn't feeling like herself, and her energy level, her appetite was off. She had lost a little bit of weight, but that was not something that had been going on for an extended period of time. And 6 months prior to the previous late fall, she actually had a full physical, and she was fine. And the illness that she had is fairly rare. It's called a pheo, P-H-E-O, pheochromocytoma. And basically it's a benign tumor on the adrenal gland. The tumor grows. When the tumor grows to a certain size, it forces the adrenal gland to explode. And so what happens is your adrenal gland is pumping adrenaline into your system full bore 24/7. But that didn't happen for Jody until early Friday morning. And we just didn't know what was happening. She had no hypertension up till then. She was fine. And got her to the hospital late Thursday night, Friday morning. They medevaced her to a major hospital because this was a community hospital. And at that point, she was critical. All her systems had gone down, and by Saturday morning, she was gone. And what basically happened was, because she had adrenaline pumping through her system 24/7, her left ventricle just exploded.
Wow.
So her heart was... And when I knew something was really wrong, Lloyd, was when they came in and said, we have some good news. This was on late Friday afternoon, so she had been in the hospital at that point for 8 hours, and it actually took them that long, you know, going through tests and diagnostics to figure out what had happened to her. And they said to me, we've got some good news. And I said, oh, thank God they figured out what's wrong and they're going to be able to stabilize her. We just got Jody bumped to top of the list at Brigham and Women's Hospital, which is a major hospital in Boston, for a heart transplant. And when they said that, that's the first time I really got it, that she was that ill. And when they were trying to put a left ventricle pump in her, implanted in her, for the commute from one hospital to the other, they lost her on the OR table. So... It happened so fast. It was just like a bad dream.
And in some ways it might still be, because I know you never get over something like that. But your two daughters were 11 and 7 when she passed away. How do you, who is grieving as much as anybody, communicate that to your children who are of an age that they may not understand what you're telling them?
Yeah, that was clearly the most difficult thing I'll ever have to do in my life. I had a very, very dear friend with me at the hospital when Jody died, and we left the hospital later that morning. And I remember saying all the way back, an hour ride, I must have repeated myself 250 times, how am I going to tell my girls? How am I going to tell Lauren and Julia? Because that's all I could think about. And even though I know I was in a total state of shock, I was exhausted because I hadn't slept, and then you take all the stress and you add that into the mix. I didn't know how I was going to do it, and so when I got back to Groton, Norv contacted another neighbor. The girls were in school, and they suggested that I try and take a nap and get some sleep. So I did that for a couple of 3 hours. I remember where I told them, Lloyd. I remember approaching them. And I basically remember what I said to them. I said, I had some very sad news. I said they couldn't really figure out what was wrong with Mom's heart, and they just couldn't fix it. And so I kind of dumbed it down for my youngest because she was only 7. So like you just said, I didn't want to make the whole conversation, medically a technical conversation. So I just said that. And they just started screaming and crying. So that was not a good day.
No, but that is a natural reaction for kids because they don't know really how to react to it. But you went on to write the book. Tell us a little bit about the book and how it's written, because my daughter was, I think, 11 when I got divorced, and my son was 1.5. And if I had had a book like you wrote, I may have been able to get through the whole single parent thing a lot better than I did, because I used to walk down the street and see parents walking with their kids in the carriage and blah, blah, blah. And I used to think, oh, man, look at that. They have life perfect. And then someone said to me, how do you know they have life perfect? They may have the same issues you have, except that they because you're not inside their home, and they're just a picture of goodness on the outside when they're out with their kids. So I wish I had your book. But tell us about the book and how it's written.
Basically, it's kind of a unique, I think, a unique book in that it's a personal memoir. So it tells a story that I was just sharing with you and the listeners earlier about what happened, that tragic night and my wife's death, and then also personal memoir about my experiences as a single dad raising my girls from the ages of 11 and 7 going forward. But what I also did, as I told the story, each chapter addresses, if you will, what I call an emotional attribute. For instance, chapter 1, I talk about, as you know because you've looked at the book, I talk about courage and vulnerability, and I talk about how important it is to demonstrate courage to your girls in regards to any kind of whether it's a death or a divorce, it's a loss, and how to pick up the pieces and how to stay positive and move forward. But I found that it's equally important to demonstrate vulnerability for, when your girls see you get sad, when your girls see you cry, when your girls see you get upset, you're basically telling them, well, I know Dad is strong and he's got courage and he's brave and he's this and he's that, but if he's all those things and he can still cry, if he can still feel sad, if he can still go into Mom's closet and sit down on the floor and wrap one of her blouses around his neck, then it must be okay for us to be sad and for us to cry. So you give them, I think you're giving them a different kind of strength. You're giving them empathy. You're giving them compassion. You're giving them permission to feel and let them know it's okay to feel those things, to feel sad. And so that's kind of, and then every chapter is different. There's love and discipline. There's a chapter on self-esteem. There's a chapter on, chapters if you've got the book there, perception and reality, respect and confidence, self-identity. So I think a lot of the important attributes that the kids need to have as they go out and navigate life.
Yeah, some of them are absolutely necessities to come through life on the other end as a normal person, quote unquote, when I say normal. Now, I know I've had a life-changing experience. We won't get into mine, but it's changed me for the better. And I'm just curious to find out, you never remarried, is that correct?
No, I actually did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay.
Well. I did. It took me 10 years, but I met a wonderful woman in town as a result of coaching her daughter in basketball. She had gotten divorced about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years earlier. We did the Brady Bunch thing, and because I was, you know, what I felt I was a successful single dad, I said to myself, if I can do that, I can do this. And the Brady Bunch thing was actually a bigger challenge than being a single dad and raising two little girls, in my estimation.
How did your wife's, okay, in the 10 years that you were out there as a single dad, what did your experience with your wife's death do to you personally?
I think the biggest thing it did to me personally is that it forced me to be a better father. I mean, before she died, I was a good dad. You know, if I was home in time at night, I had dinner with the family. If I was home in time, I would help my girls with their homework or read them a story and tuck them in at night. If I wasn't, I would certainly call. I was on the road. We'd go for walks. We had a pet. We'd spend time together. We'd watch movies together. We'd go out for the movies, ice cream. So I was a good dad, but losing Jody the way we lost her, I just realized, and I'm grateful to God that he gave me the spiritual and the emotional strength to come to this realization so quickly that I was all the girls had, and that they had just lost the most important thing that a little girl can lose. And I just said to myself, you just got to do everything in your power to make sure that these girls live from this point on as normal a life as possible. And I just made that a priority. And so I would really say that changed my life. Jody's death changed my life in that way more than anything else. It made me a more spiritual person. I used to be what I consider religious because I was born in a religious family, went to Catholic school. But it definitely made me a more spiritual person. And I think in the long run, it made me a stronger person.
I can totally agree with that last comment because I know when I went through my situation, it made me a stronger person and made me realize what was important and what wasn't so important. Here's two questions in one. Key attributes that a single father needs to demonstrate to their children and key mistakes that fathers make with their children. I could probably write a book on the ones that I did. So,
well, you know, here's the thing. I've also found, Lloyd, and you probably realize this as well because you've been an involved single dad, that no matter how hard you work at it, and it does take a lot of hard work. Just being a father in a normal family is a lot of work. Being a good single dad is even harder, okay? And so if you can realize the fact that it takes all that work, then kind of lost your question. Can you with the question again quickly?
Sure. The attributes a single father needs to demonstrate to their children, what would you say the key ones are, and what are the key mistakes that fathers make?
Oh, so what? I'm sorry. Thank you. So where I was going with that was, you know, no matter how hard you try and work at it, you're going to make mistakes. There's no such thing as a perfect father kind of thing. And I still beat myself up when I don't do or say the right thing, even as an older father. But something that I call being an emotional mentor is what dads, especially single dads, need to be. And I use the term emotional mentor because what it really equates to is dads being very, very aware and very, very sensitive, which are two things that most men are not good at. Just because we're guys, not because we're, you know, there's something missing, or it's just how men are built.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so what I found is that you know, so these are not strengths, and you need to work on them to make them strengths. And that's something becoming a single dad kind of forced on me. And so I try to communicate that in my book, my radio show, other books that will be coming out about, you know, single dads trying to get command of being more aware and being more sensitive.
And then you have, as a single dad with two girls, you have to deal with the issues that girls have, which you may not have a handle on because everything happens so quickly. And then the girls start growing up and they start having their female issues. And so you had a lot of stuff on your plate. But having read your bio, your two daughters came out on the other end. One went to the University of Connecticut, where she got a BS in biology, and Julia is at the University of New Hampshire, where she received a BA in journalism and English. So the question I have for you is, now as young adults and highly educated young ladies, are they taking any path to keep your wife's memory alive and how she died and stuff like that?
Actually, today, earlier today, my youngest daughter, who still lives in the area, we went down to the cemetery. We usually do this the end of May around Mother's Day or Jody's anniversary, which was May 20th. But with the weather here, we had a lot of rain here in May, and we didn't get around to it. We went to the cemetery, and we do that usually every May, and just kind of clean it up and plant some flowers. And usually the three of us would go, but now that Lauren's in Connecticut, sometimes she can't be there because she has work. So we call her from the cemetery. I still have some shirts that Jody owned that were kind of, Gap, L.L. Bean knock-around shirts. They were actually men's, and Jody used to wear a lot of men's polo shirts and stuff. I actually have those, and I wear them on special occasions. My girls remember Jody in a lot of different ways, we talk about her, and we miss her. And I don't know what else to say on that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Listen, you lost her in 1995. I know a dad is not the same as a wife, but I lost my dad in 1997, and I miss him, and I talk to him every day, and he sends me messages. So I know exactly what you're dealing with and what you've gone through. And like I said when I first introduced you, you're a person who shows the right way to deal with life's tragedies. And you should be given all the kudos that you can. I got one other question for you, and then I'd like you to go ahead and give information as to where my listeners can find you, because I know I sure as heck would love to have found you at a different time and place. But if you could give one suggestion to other single dads or single parents, such as I was with divorce, what would it be?
I would say that probably the most important thing for a single dad to do is to really focus on developing a relationship with your child. And I think a lot of times what we do is, because we're the parent and they're the child, it's almost like we make an assumption that there's a given there, that there's a relationship. But it's like any relationship, whether it's a good friendship, spouse. If you don't nurture and work on the relationship, it's not going to grow. And so I think really connecting with your kids, and how I think you achieve all this, ask questions. Ask a lot of questions about how was your day, how was the test, how's your friend John, how's your friend Mary. Just ask questions so they can open up their world to you. That's how kids, I think, really connect with a parent, but see the mother or father as not just a parent, but as a human being, as an individual. And I used to try and when I was a single dad, I used to try and focus on not being a parent. I used to try and focus on being a coach and a mentor. And I would say connect with your kids, ask a lot of questions, and then just shut up and listen.
Very well put, I have to say. That's very well put, because too many parents assume they're the parent, the children are the children, and there's a definite line between the two. I'm the parent, you're the child, you need to listen to me, you need to do this, you need to do that. And that's not true at all. And I think you just put it very well by saying that you should try and create a relationship, because the relationship with your child absolutely is not a gimme. And what parents should think like you do, and that's being, you're not necessarily a friend, but being a mentor for them instead of just continuously thinking you're a parent. So give my listeners your website and information, because I know you do coach and you do a blog, and, you know, so
yeah,
I know you
sure
want
to. Everything's rolled into this website. There's a blog on it. There's articles. There's content relative to parenthood, fatherhood. You can get the book off the site. And the site is www.singledadswithheart.com. And if someone's just interested in the book, they can find it on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and the title of the book is A Father's New Beginning.
Well, I'm lost for words right now, because I just can't see ending this conversation with you. But I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing your life-changing experience, and hopefully helping some of those single dads out there, because I do know that being a single dad is not an easy thing, nor is it a gimme as far as everybody, when they become a single dad, being able to do it. There's, like you said during the interview, there's a certain amount of work that has to go into it. So I greatly appreciate you coming on, Larry, and you take care of yourself and say hello to your daughters for me.
Lloyd, thank you for the invitation. I enjoyed it, and it's been my pleasure, and I will say hello, and you take care, and you have a nice summer.
You too. Say hello to the Boston Red Sox for me.
I will do that.
Take care.
Take care now, Lloyd.
You too. That was Larry Agresto, a single dad who in 1995 found out that he was a single dad because his wife unexpectedly passed away within 48 hours. And he had a story to tell that is eye-opening and heartwarming, and I hope that he continues to tell it, because he definitely needs to get out there. We'll be right back after these words.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, a show that delves into the hot topics of life. Lloyd takes life's issues head-on with hard-hitting interviews with professionals such as doctors and teachers, as well as those that have experienced life's alerting issues, whether professional, emotional, or physical. Lloyd wants to help those that are searching for answers to living a successful life. Life's Issues airs every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, right here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Find out more at lifesissueswithlloydrosen.com.
Welcome back to the last 5 minutes of Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen this week. I just wanted to touch base. I spoke at the beginning of the show about a stigma-free referendum that was passed in the town that I grew up in, and I have been very fortunate to be invited to a meeting of that organization to speak out about the mental illness that is affecting our kids today and try and help. And at the same time, I am in the process right now of starting my nonprofit foundation, which is going to be out there to educate and support families of suicide, either victims or suicide attempts. There's too much education out there that needs to be given to the people. There's too much education that isn't given, and there's too many people out there who bury their heads in the sand as far as mental illness is concerned until they find out that it's their son or their daughter who hung themselves or jumped off a bridge or whatever they did to stop their lives from living the fulfillment that they are put here on the face of the earth to live. I have many stories myself to show kids who think that it's okay to use a permanent solution to a temporary problem, that it is not, and that they need to definitely get out there. So I've got I got a book that's going to be coming out, and I've got another book that is in the works to be out shortly thereafter. I've got my motivational speaking going on. In fact, to make money, I work at a hotel during the week, and I had a guest in here with a choir group that's going to be singing at the Carnegie Hall in New York City and then going on to Russia to sing there. And I had a chance to talk with him the other night, and he said to me, please give me your card with your phone number on it because you will be hearing from me. You are a person I'd like to bring into town, which happens to be Indiana, to speak to the kids and show them that life is full of ups and downs, and that if you just work at it, you can definitely get more on the upside than on the downside. It's much more fun to realize. And it was only for me 8 years ago that I came to understand that my illness, the depression that I suffered from, was just depression, and it wasn't the end of the world. And then when I have a normal life, I can do very successful things, which I have done already, and I will be doing more of. I've mentioned before on the show, I do have a website. It's LloydRosen.com, and you can go on and read my blog, leave me messages, contact me there. I would not mind at all traveling to wherever I have to get my message out. And life is better alive than it is dead, and you have too many people who are rooting for you as if you're a child, if you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, too many people rooting for you to succeed and make a success and make a name for yourself in this world. It's just not feasible. I've tried it. It doesn't work. God wanted me to be around to do his work, not my work, not your work, his work, and he expects us as human beings to go to the ends of the earth to do his work, and we don't leave this earth until we're done doing his work, and that's what I intend to do. So I've given you my website. I've given you the fact that I'm starting a nonprofit. If there's anybody listening anywhere in the United States or the world, if you're interested in talking with me about the issues of bullying, depression, suicide, or any other life issues, please do not hesitate to get in touch with me through the radio station or through LloydRosen.com. Just remember, I am only one person in this world, but I may be the world to that one person who I'm talking to at the moment, and the same thing goes for you out there. Take the time, listen to people, learn to help people, because you may end up being the savior that they're looking for. Until next Friday, have a great week, have a great weekend. We'll see you then. Take care.
You have been listening to Life's Issues with Lloyd Rosen, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.